you will tonight, turn with me to Haggai. I still ain't got Mark's message. He just didn't get that done the other night. I was going to try to preach it to you this morning. I tell you, I think the message Chuck preached this morning will help with this one. It's funny how they all just work together. I got this Mark, I guess it's last Sunday night. Either last Sunday night or the one before Mark preached in Haggai to us. It just got my mind on this, so I may have even mentioned this scripture after he preached the other night. Either way, I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit and preach you out of the second chapter of Haggai. If you want to turn there, women, I don't plan on. The thought the Lord gives me, I don't think it's a lengthy thought. I've studied on it, been on my mind. So I'll just do the best the Lord let me have. If you would stand as we read the Holy Scripture. Haggai wrote this. I want you to listen to this. I'm just going to read maybe two verses, and then I'll let you sit down. The second and third verse. It says, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, say, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory?" He asked a question there. Who remembers? If the Lord will help me tonight, we're going to do a little house building. I'm sure he will. He never let me down when I come to him around. Haggai asked a question here, and he was speaking to the governor of Judah. Now, he had been, Zerubbabel had been placed there by the Persian governor. The king had placed him there as governor. He was an Israelite. A lot of scholars think that this name was Persian. But he was of the descendants of Solomon. I like that, don't you? Lord, he keeps it right. And he said here in the third verse, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison albeit as nothing?" Now, these are all questions. You can be seated. Haggai, the prophet of the Lord, spake here in the building, if I understand right, the work of the temple has been finished. And the work of the wall had been finished. Help me, Lord. Y'all pray for me now. Sometimes we, in our Christian life, the Lord will bless us. I thought of this. One of the folks that is going to Jamaica with us, we went for years. Y'all know that. Last year was the 10th year that we'd done VBS. So this will be starting. This year will be starting the 11th year that we have went there and done VBS. And one of the people that is going with us this year from another church, thank the Lord that it was from him. But He asked Lori the question. He asked Lori how many was going, and Lori told him 14 or 15 or something like that. He said the news wired not up. Made Lori and I kind of think. And then Mark preached the other night, and I got this on my mind, and I got to studying it, you know, about the temple. And I've always been fascinated with the temple. It's one of my favorite studies. There are some incredible things that God worked into the temple. If you want to do a study in the Bible, I'll tell you, that's a good place to do a study on the temple that Solomon built. Also the temple here that was built after the children of captivity. It's just wonderful. But anyway, sometimes we, you know, God will bless us and we'll go do something for him, and he'll just be awesome in it. Y'all have had those experiences in your life, haven't you? I've heard a lot of it in your testimonies and things like that. I could share those, and maybe the Lord will let me share some of your testimonies tonight, but I've seen God do some great things in my life. I've seen him do things that you just shake your head and say, I don't believe that, and stuff like that. And I tell you, a lot of things I don't share with folks just because they doubt. You know, the Lord show you something, and he do a great work in your life. And I'm going to tell you this, it is unbelievable. I look at my life today. Sometimes I look at me and Lori. We've been married, we passed 32 years the first of the month that we've been married. I reckon 32, that's right, ain't Lori? I always check, you know, make sure I'm right. Now, you've been married as long as I have. You've learned how to stay married. You check things. And I look at that, that's a miracle. It is. I tell you the honest truth. There's two great lights in my life. God being the greater light, Jesus Christ, and what he does. That's a great light in my life. But I'm going to tell you, my wife's a great light in my life. I cannot figure out today how she has stayed with me 32 years. I'm telling you, that's a miracle. You might not see it that way, but I do, because I know Fuzz Bradley. And there's been things that's happened in our life that was wonderful things, awesome things. And if you live for the Lord, you'll see those things. I'm telling you, I've saw them. Just over and over again, I've shared some of those things with you. I remember the first mission trip that I took in 1997. And as I was on my way there, I remember asking God, are you sure this is where you want me? I was at that point where I could have bailed out or I could have went on. And I was right there at the crossroads, and man, God was having a talk. Well, I was having a talk. I don't think he was paying that much attention because he had sent me to start with. But just a few days later, I was knelt down with two men from that country, and I was trying to share the gospel with them. And I spoke English, and they spoke Spanish, but the Spirit was speaking to both of them. And God saved those two men. That was a miracle. I mean, I was trying to draw it out on the ground how that Jesus died. The Spirit was just that heavy. And those two men got saved. Last time I heard, one of them was a deacon in the church there that we went to help build. That's a miracle. I don't care what you say. I remember one time Obadiah Bailey told me something that was going to happen. And Obadiah and I, we are good friends, and we love each other as brothers. Obadiah, I'll tell you the story that we are brothers. The difference is I was born in the daytime. He was born at night. You've heard him say that, haven't you? Of course, y'all know O.B., he'd tell that in Jamaica, and he laughed about it because it embarrasses me. No, those folks over there, they'll look. They'll say, he's my brother. I said, well, don't we look alike? And O.B. told me something one time that was going to happen, and I told him, I said, O.B., you're a crazy old black man, what you are. But we saw it happen. I've heard people say, how do you get that close to somebody? Well, you walk the walk, and talk the talk with them and fight the battles with them. I'll tell you, God will make them brothers. I told somebody here years back of this. I said, OB and I, we're not blood kin, but we're brothers. But I'm going to tell you, I've passed over. We're blood kin now.
Amen.
Well, I just love him that much. But I've seen miracles happen. Just things that I couldn't explain to you how they happened, this, that, or nothing else. We were there working one time, and it was raining and rain. It just kept raining, rained every day, and they was giving rain in the forecast. And if you've ever been to the tropics or anywhere like that, it'll start raining and it'll rain for a month. And we were there at those times, and we were just praying one night, God, we're here to serve you, and we have done everything that we could do. We had just done everything that we could do. If it didn't stop raining, we were finished with the project we were working on. So we just prayed to God and said, we're here to serve you. And whatever you decide, that's what we want to do. And so the next morning we woke up, the rain stopped, and we had two beautiful days of good weather, and we finished the project, and God got the glory. Now, you can say, well, that was just the weather. No, it wasn't just the weather. See, listen to me. The weather man told you the other day that you were going to get a couple inches of snow and then it was going to rain. How'd that work for you? The weather man said, no, we're going to do it this way. And I'm going to tell you why. The weather man done that is because you needed to hear Chuck Lowe preach this morning. And there wasn't no way you could do that unless he sent a little snow and they closed down up in Fisher's Creek. And God sent their preacher over here to feed us a little bread. Do you see those things? You say, preacher, that stuff don't matter. I'm going to tell you this. You'll never enjoy the blessings of God until you give God credit for everything. So I told you all that to kind of set you up for what I wanted to tell you in the message and what God's given me in the message. Haggai spoke to Zerubbabel and he told him, he said, how many of you remember the former temple? How many of you remember what it looked like? Listen to what he said to him now in the third verse. It says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And there's a question mark there. He said, and how do you now see it? Praise God. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you will, I want you to look at your house. I want you to take a good look at your house. And I want you to remember back some of the times in your life that God done a work in your life, and it got down in you, and you seen God working, and you knew it was God, and there's no doubt about it, and you've set that up in your life. That's a memorial in your life. You understand what I'm talking about? Is everybody still with me? If you're having trouble with that memorial thing, let me tell you a little story in the scripture. The Bible says that when Joshua went through the Jordan River with the children of Israel, they were on the march. They were going in to take Jericho. And God instructed the people of Israel. He said, I want one person out of every tribe to pick up a stone as you pass through the Jordan on dry ground. I've been fishing in my life, and I fish, huh? I've been fishing in my life, and I get so in tune with that jig that I stole. I love the pig jig. That's my favorite bait. If I could just have one bass bait, that'd be it. That's what I'd fish. And I've got so in tune and entranced in what I was doing that I could feel that jig
across the land.
That anything. It'd be a rock. I tell you how big it is. You just get in tune with it if you love to do it. And now you might do other things, and you feel that when you get in that. What they call that is the zone. And when you're in the zone, you're there.
I mean, you die.
There's times that I believe I can feel a fish smell that jig. That's how good it feels, you know. You say, well, preacher, you're crazy. You don't like fishing like I do. You might like something else. You might be a runner. You know, like Chip over here. There's times, Chip, when you get there, and you just say, I could run forever. I feel that strong. I'm out here, and I'm where I need to be, and there ain't nothing touching me. Whatever it is you like to do, if you really enjoy it, you'll get to that place, praise God. And we've had those times in our Christian life, and their memorials. And as these children of Israel, they went through the river, and I can just imagine what the bottom of Jordan River since I fed. There's some places on Cherokee Lake, and in my mind, I have a visual of what it looks like under the water. And as those people went through there, God told one person from each tribe, I'm going to say that it was probably a holy man out of that tribe. They probably every tribe, all 12 tribes, designated one person to pick up that stone. And God commanded them to. And when they got on the other side of the river, he said, you build an altar and worship. And the reason I want you to do that is you can tell your children what this power, when they ask you, dad or grandpa or mother or father, what's this pile of stones? What's it represent? You tell them that it's a memorial. That this is where we came through into the promised land. And I want you to know this tonight, praise God. If there's not some memorials in your life, you probably need to meet Jesus. Because the first rock I ever put down was the day he saved my soul, praise God. And I've never got over that. I've never. That's when the house, that's when the foundation was said in my life, the cornerstone. I believe it was Ezekiel that spoke about the cornerstone of the Lord and the plumb bob. And everything sets off of that plumb. It ain't straight unless it's set off. You understand what I'm saying? So Haggai told Zerubbabel, he said, can you remember? How many of you here can remember what the house looked like? It's the former house. Can you remember? I'm going to ask you tonight to look back in your life at those times that God has done a work in your life. Can you remember what it felt like? I'm sure you can. If you don't have those things in your life, you might already get saved. Now, I ain't preaching you lost, but I'm going to tell you this, praise God, I'm preaching you can get saved. You say, well, I'm a member here, preacher. That don't matter. Praise God. From the looks of our roll book, there's some folks on our roll book that ain't saved. Because church don't mean that much to them. Amen. I ain't talking about a snow day neither. Praise God. I understand folks that don't want to get out and praise God. But I just can't live without it. I'm just telling you. I love it. I love church. Listen, I preached to 3 and I preached to 300. There are 3,000. It don't matter to me. The Lord just preached. I just give what he gives me. But he asked, can you remember? I was out the other day looking at Laura and I's house. It's been there about 18 years. That's hard to believe for me. But I was out looking around. We painted the house, done some work. I've had to replace some boards on it around the windows, some window trim. It just rotted out. Just couldn't take it. It just got too rough. It rotted out. And you know what I had to do? I had to get up right at the crowbar and get all that old rotten dirt and all that out there and tear it out there. And then I had to cut new wood and put it in there. Nail it in, secure it good, caulk it off and everything, and repaint it.
But I was looking around the other day and I was thinking, well, Marlin Park's a place I'm gonna have to get up early in the springtime and touch that up. We painted the house a few years ago, and I'm already, Larry, seeing some places where you painted. I'm gonna have to go back painting. I'm just kidding. But every now and then, you gotta go back and you gotta touch up some of them weak places. I know y'all sitting there saying, I ain't got no weak places. Yes, you do. Hey, some places in your life that you might be a little weak. Well, what do you do? Well, you constantly work on new places. Now, see, Tim Mason, right up in the peak of my house, up there where the overhang's over good and all that, I don't have to mess with that much because it's out of weather. Hey, very little weather flows in there. And so I don't look up there so much, but down around the roof of my garage, if I don't watch that pretty close, it'll start breaking. You'll see a crack. Sometimes you got to get up there. You know, climb up there takes a little effort. I got to go down to the garage, get a ladder, and set it up there, and get up there, and look. And then I got to go back down and get what I need to fix it. Well, listen to me. Praise God. That's what Haggai was telling Zerubbabel here. Listen, we need to keep an eye on what's going on with the house where we keep a maintenance up on. You see what I'm saying? You say, preacher, that's what he's saying. Yes, it is. Read the scripture. He said to him in verse 4, he said, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And you say, well, all of them were there. No, the scripture says in the second verse, they was just a residue of what was there. And just a few left. But God was encouraging those few to be strong. Because the Lord said, I'm with you. Well, let me tell you what the Lord said. The Lord said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Now, I'm going to ask you this today, and I want you to answer. You don't have to answer out loud, but you can answer to yourself. How many of us in the congregation tonight is facing problems in our life? Well, all of us are. Every one of us. Well, God said to keep your maintenance up. Be strong. Praise God. Don't let things get out of hand. Keep your prayer life up. Praise God. Keep your study up. Praise God. Keep your fellowship up. Make sure you attend church. Be around people that encourage you. Be around people that love you. Praise God. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think, I'll just tell you the honest truth. A church that ain't encouraging one another, they're not a church of the living God. They just hung a shingle up there and called it a church. Well, what is the church, preacher? Chuck Lowe told you this morning what the church was. She's that little Shumanite woman out there looking for somebody to love. She wanted to constrain somebody to feed them some bread. She didn't have much bread. If you read back in that story there, it wasn't for before that that the old prophet had told her to fix me a cake. And she did. And God blessed her. God wants us tonight to realize this. Praise God, that we're strong in numbers. You say, well, Lord, don't care about numbers. Well, let's look and see how much he cared about. He said on one occasion, he said, where two or three are joined together, I'll be in the midst. Yes. Well, how many does that take? It just takes one. It takes you. It takes he the Father, and he the Holy Spirit. That's three. 33. I've been riding down the road now, church service, ain't you? Yeah, I, you say, preacher, I've heard preachers say, oh, you can't do that. I know the Spirit of God. And I know this. I know when He comes by. I don't know much, but I know the Spirit. And there's been times I've been riding down the road in my truck, get singing an old song or listening to a message or something like that, and the Lord just come by and I just go to rejoicing right there in the seat of the truck, just me and Him and the Holy Spirit. The Lord cared something about numbers. On the day of Pentecost, how many folks got saved? 3,000. Lord cares something about numbers, though. He used them all through that. How many folks down there that day got to eat out of them, how many, what, 2 fishes and 5 loaves? 5,000 men eat down there that day. God cares a little bit about numbers. Somebody said, well, it don't matter to me how many folks at church. I'm going to tell you this. I'll not be satisfied until this building's full and we're building one twice the size. I won't. You know why? Because each number represents another soul. And there was just a residue, the scripture says, of them here. But God was charging them to keep the house in order and keep the maintenance of them. If a piece of trim, if it got rotten or what, God wanted them to fix it. And He was using that as a lesson to their own life. There's something weak in your life. Work on it. Work on it. We don't preachers anymore. They won't call folks to order and say, listen, you all may have this problem. Well, you need to work on it. You all may have this problem. You need to work on it. How do we work on it, preacher? Well, the first thing is we know we've got a good relationship with the Lord. Because if you don't, then you ain't got no foundation. Yeah. And a lot of people just think they can come to the altar and just say, God, forgive me, and get up and go back, and everything's hunky-dory. No, listen, praise God, the Lord will forgive you, but He wants you to work your problems out. The Bible teaches us those principles and practices in our Christian life. Well, why should we do that? Well, the scripture tells us that too. Look with me in the scriptures, you will. There's some, I could read all this. The Lord reminded them that He was the one that carried them out of Egypt here in verse 5. He also reminded them in verse 6 that He was God of the world, the earth, everything. I'm in control of all that. And He'd tell them, every time He'd tell them something, He'd say, fear not, for I'm with you. Tammy, ain't no use you getting scared. He's with you. Brian, don't run to the hills, praise God. He's with you. When the Lord says, fear not, I'm with you, stand your ground. Yeah. Praise God. Don't run. That's the time to stand. And listen, let me tell you this. If God's calling you to stand, He's calling you to stand for a reason. He knows you can. And listen, let me tell y'all this. God's not asking you to stand for the purpose of Him knowing if you'll stand. He knows what you're going to do.
Yeah.
He's doing it where you'll know you can stand.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I've met Christians all my life, and they were good people, but they didn't have any confidence in their ability. Let me ask y'all this question here, and then I'm going to finish it up. How many of y'all ever went to the altar and said, Lord, forgive me of my sin, and you know He did, and you got up and you went back in a day or two and you kind of transgressed on that and you went back? I'd like to show of hands. How many of y'all ever done it? Well, you know what the devil wants us to say? He wants us to think we're a failure. Well, when he makes you think you're a failure, he's got you. But the Lord is constantly in the Word. I never looked at that phone today. How many times in the Bible the Lord told His people to fear not. Now, there's just that. I'd say you're going to get up in the hundreds on that one, don't you? Fear not, for I'm with you. He told David, fear not, I'm with you. He told Solomon, fear not. Solomon told him, said, how can I do this great work? He said, fear not, I'm with you. Listen, when God says I'm with you, you don't need anybody else, praise God. When He's with you, you're up to the task. Does that mean you're going to do everything perfect? No, it don't mean that. But I'm going to tell you this. The Scripture says when we do mess up, we have an advocate with Christ.
365
times. Well, one for every day. He's perfect in every way, ain't he?
No, I'm sorry.
It don't matter. If He told you once, He's good for everything. Ain't
it? Amen.
Lord, I've got this little thing at the house, she'll say. We were watching a program today. And it's a man and a woman, they do a rehab, I don't know the name of the show, but we watch it from time to time, they do house remodeling. And Lord said, that woman looks like she's got some Indian in her. And I said, no, not Indian, that's Mexican, Lord. Lord said, how many of y'all move? How long do you bake a vanilla cake? Hey, somebody knows how long. Hey, I mean, what's the healthiest ledge to eat? Google it. I mean, the stupidest question you can think of, you can Google it. Somebody wrote it down. Anything you want. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you something Google needs to figure out. It's when the Lord says, fear not. You don't need nothing else. You don't need to Google nothing else. You got it. Now, listen to me. Praise God. Yes, look. In verse 7, he said, I'll shake the nations. In other words, let me tell you something. If God has to move the moon, He'll move it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You hear it, but you don't believe it. But if He has to, He will. He's done it before, He'll do it again. Let me tell you young people something. Sit back here, you got the world by the tail, you know everything that's happening. I mean, you got the pulse of the nation. Y'all style, you look. You know, you got the right clothes on and all that. You don't. I never know if you follow American Eagle. It's fine if you worry. Just don't ask me. You know what y'all are dealing with today? Let me tell you. Y'all say, well, I don't believe you. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I was your age just a few days ago. You're going to be 50 years old. We were talking about right over here, just one church over there, about some things that we done when we were here all day. But y'all know what y'all want more than anything. I've been a little weird. I was. I got some pictures that you all will never see. In fact, I might have done that. But I just want to be. But you know what I done? I found my folks. Jason and Becky had used to do a little old game here with the kids, and they called it the farm, down on the farm or something like that. Y'all remember that one? Barnyard. That's what it was. And they would blindfold the kids, and they would line them up, and they would say, you're a sheep, you're a horse, and you're a cow.
Whisper it to them.
Yeah, they would whisper it to them, and you're a pig.
Another person didn't.
They would have like four different barnyard animals. And they would whisper that over and over down the line. And then one person in that whole bunch would say, "You're a goat," or "You're a cow," or "You're something like that." And there would be one person going, and what you had to do was you had to make that animal sound like it. You were a pig, you'd be walking around going, "Oink, oink, 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 oink." Well, and you found your animal. There'd be like five or six pigs walking around going, "Oink, oink, 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 oink." And you'd hear that other pig, when you found them, you'd grab hold of them. And then they'd always do it. They'd have one person. Most times it was a goat. And there'd be one person wandering around out there making a goat sound. And they never would find nobody out. And it was fun, and we liked and what. But it taught us a lesson. Find your folks. But let me tell you, young people, something. Don't you conform to the world. You be a Christian. That's the world we're going to.
Right.
I want to tell y'all something. I'll tell you, kids, I'm just going to be personal with you just here for a second. I really never cared in school what I did. I would rather flat smile than my partner. That's why I spent 5 years after the Lord called me first apologizing to people that I had been tricked. Young people, I just really didn't care what folks thought about me. But I'm going to tell you what, the Lord got me in place to where it does matter what people fight about. So I'm going to tell you now, the only thing in school, the only people in school that I had any respect for were people that traveled with me. Anybody else? You're a fire cat. Don't say nothing. Don't smart. Don't stick your nose up. I love to get people like that that thought they were better than me. You can go and see. I was embarrassed. Say bad about me. But the people that tried to live for God, they don't think was that I left the Lord. They was the Peter type. They was God's seed. And I knew the Bible. I knew the Bible said fear not. I knew that. I'm going to tell you something. Don't conform to the world. Let the world conform to you. But the only way you can do that is live in your life. Making sure you have a glory of God. Some glory. Now I said that and I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Look with me, I think it's verse 9. Look with me in verse 9. Verse 8, the Lord said, "All the silver is mine, all the gold is mine." You need anything? Anybody here needing? I mean, I'm calling it needing something. I got some things I want. But now that's different than things you need. You see. The Lord said, "It's mine." I'm going to read verse 8. "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Riches is his." But listen to what this is what you want to look for. Verse 9. "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former." And he wouldn't have. Listen, the second temple, I've researched and studied this. The second temple was not nearly as glorious in look as Solomon's. It was. These were slave people that was building the second temple. They would just get what they could get. First temple. But God said the glory of the house will be greater. Now there's a little prophecy in that too, if you want to. Because after Jesus came, he built a great house. It's still standing today. You can't tear it down. People tear it. That's right. You see what I'm saying? We got goofballs running around this world, they say, "Oh, if you're healthy, that's what it's all about." You know what? They buried a healthy person today. You know what? I'll say this for Chip. I know he looks at my physique now, he can see
the former champion that I used to be. But I loved this guy when I was in school. His name was Jim Fix. He was supposed to have been the perfect specimen of what a healthy person was. Jim Fix ran every day. He was a runner. And was a great runner, world class runner. Jim Fix wrote several books on health, how to stay healthy, how to be healthy then. And the age, the ripe old age of 48-year-old dropped dead with a heart attack. You see, healthy people are dying too. So that discards the myth that as long as we keep this house, as long as we keep this house healthy, then God will be pleased. There's ain't got nothing to do. And you hear these people all the time saying, well, we're the temple of the Lord. I will tell you some of the greatest people I ever met in my life eat fried chicken. My Lord beef. Or French fries and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that's supposed to be unhealthy food. Barbecue, pork, and stuff like that. Oh Lord. And we've got Baptist people today that say, you ought to eat pork. Well, you're an idiot. Now, you know what, Mark? That's the way I look at it. It's just more for me.
Exactly right.
There ain't nothing to that foolishness. That's not what God was talking about in the New Testament when he said, you're the temple of the Lord. That wasn't what he was talking about. Let me tell you this. I ate at Pueblito today. Good healthy Mexican food. It's done the same thing to the Mexican people that our American cuisine's done to us. It's killing us. Somebody told me here years back that Chinese food was the healthiest food that you could eat. Well, they're dying too. I mean, they ain't living no longer than we are. In fact, the matter is, the average age of a Chinese person is less than about anybody else in the world.
We're all dying.
So there's not a whole lot that we can do with this. Because the scripture says this old house must first pay the way. And then we'll be introduced to our glories. So, Jerry, the best you can do, they just keep patching you up. My good friend Roy Bradley went to the hospital this week and visited with him in the hospital. You know what's wrong with him? He's just wearing out. Just wore out. Same thing's happening to me. I got called into work yesterday to clean sidewalks and push snow out of parking lots, things like that. I worked till about 6 o'clock last night. And I told the boss, I sat down in the truck about 5 o'clock, and he said, what's wrong with you, Dad? I said, I'm wore out. And you know what this seemed like to him just a few years ago? I could just go and go and go and go, but I can't. You know why? Because this temple is worn out. That is where the glory's at now. That is where the glory's at, kids. Let me tell you. Let me tell you the truth right here. This bunch over here right here. You girls, that hunk you sitting next to, you won't be lying that he's a chunk. That's what hunks turn into. There you go, big daddy. I know y'all are looking at each other. You're just smoking beer and stuff. A few homecoming seasons from now. You have to, like Chip, you have to work on it. but those things are not. It's good. If you love it, good. I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with it. Let me tell you what the scripture says about it. The scripture says, now I know y'all don't think I'm crazy, but the Bible actually says it. Bodily exercise probably will. And then you got this bunch running around saying you got to be healthy. I've had preachers get up and say, oh, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, you can't eat that, and you can't do that. I ain't never read that scripture. But I'll tell you what did happen to me today. I walked out from Pueblito after I'd ate just standing there on the sidewalk, a little talking and what. And this lady, she pulled up to me. And she said, I saw you standing here. And she, I didn't know who she was. And she said, the Lord just spoke to me. And she said, I had to turn around and come back. And she said, you helped in Mickey Jones' funeral. Man. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She said, well, that is a man there. And he really seemed to like you. He talked to you. I saw you and him talking several times, sharing some things. She said, I noticed you shared some things with him about making his spiritual wife. And she said, he was lying. And she said, I've got such a burden for it that I wanted to stop and ask you if you would, if you get an opportunity to share the gospel with him, would you do that? I didn't know that woman. Nobody. But she saw something in my house. That's what Chuck Lowe was preaching to you about this morning. Have you a little place for folks? Don't listen. I told her, I said, well, I'm glad that you stopped and made me aware of that because I didn't know that he was a lost man. But I said, I do now. And I received the burden instantly for that man. I want to share with him about Jesus and what Jesus can do in his life and how Jesus can glorify him in heaven. But that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight, that God will help you. Let me read 9. I'm going to close. I'll preach longer. My father will be here. It's okay. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Lori and Brian, they've kind of been preaching the message of being content this week. That's good. There ain't nothing wrong with that. We ought to be content. Wherever God's got us, we ought to be happy. I try to look at things. The older I get, the more I see the simplicity of God. And I try to look at things. I want to tell you, when you kids go through problems in your life, know this, that God's making you stronger for the next one. Every time, kids, listen to young people, every time maybe you fail a test or make a wrong decision in your life or this or that, it's not the end of the world. Study hard. The next time you're up against that decision that you made the wrong decision before, the next time make the right decision. I promise you this, and I want every young person here to hear me. Right before you do that wrong thing, there'll be something in the back of your head somewhere. Sometimes I've heard it was almost audible. I believe if there'd been somebody standing next to me, they'd have heard it. You aren't to do that. You ever heard that little old voice? How many of you went ahead and done it? You paid the price for it.
Amen.
It wasn't long. You was out there with the scraper, scraping that old dog and putting a new coat on it. If you left the Lord, some people never did get over that. Bible says after a while, if you keep denying it, Bible said, after a while, I'll turn you over to a wretched bay of mind. In other words, he just let whatever it is you got to do, he'll let it keep. You know that?
Yeah.
I've seen people like that. I've met men like that. They had the greatest testimony of grace that I ever heard in my life, but they wouldn't quit what they were doing. They finally got it. Y'all ever met folks like that? Some of you old folks, I know you know people just like that. They finally got it. What killed him. God just said, well, I'm going to turn you over to it. You can go ahead and do what you want to. But I'm telling you tonight that you don't have to end up that way. I'm telling you tonight that God will be with you. He'll put you in a place where you can flourish and grow. Be a great Christian. Be a great girl. Be somebody that people will see. I ain't tooting my horn. I'm just giving you the time. He'll let you be that person that you just walk out of the window and somebody will come by and give you an opportunity to win. He'll let you be that kind of person. I ain't saying I'm a good person. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying I've got a good God.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. I hope I said something tonight that bless you. I hope I said something that's encouraging. I hope I said something to you tonight that give you a little bit more knowledge up here to show you how to run things down. Don't get too tore up in the world and what the world says. I might be wrong. Is the Grammys tonight? Is that tonight?
Oscars.
Thank you. Tim's always got his finger on the pulse of entertainment. He always knows what's going on. He's done like me. He flipped it through the channel and seen the commercial. There's gonna be people, they think their life rises or falls on what the Academy put it on. What difference that gonna make? Let me tell you this. 10,000 years in hell, what difference is it gonna make what picture won the Oscar this year? What difference is that gonna make? In a sea of fire and brimstone, is it going to matter?
No.
You know what is going to matter? Where I made the decision for Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, those are the things, this life-changing moments. You remember in your life when you decided to live for the Lord? Remember when you made your mind up? I remember on Interstate 55 right outside of St. Louis, Missouri, I prayed to God, and I said, God, if you'll help me. It took me a while to get back, but I tell you, he helped me. He told me to fear not. He's telling you tonight to fear not. I'll be with you. It's been a message to you. I'm going to ask you this tonight. Do you have a relationship with God? I'm not talking about it. Preacher, I know who God is. But you know what? Hell's full of people know who God is. It's jam-packed full of people like that. Do you have a relationship with him? Let me tell you. How many of y'all here tonight know who Barack Obama is? Just raise your hand. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you got a personal relationship with Barack Obama? A little different, ain't it? I know who he is. But now, as far as me knowing him, I don't know him. I got some ideas about it. I won't share that with you in the pulpit or something. But you might like him, you might not. It don't matter to me, neither way. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you know who Jesus is, right here? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you got a personal relationship? See, that's what's going to matter when the world's over. That's what's going to matter. I love you, appreciate you, and I thank God. If you don't know him and know him right tonight, let me introduce you to him. He's my best friend. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my keeper. He shows me what maintenance I need to do in my life through the Spirit, through the Word, through prayer. You can know him too. If there's one here tonight that would like to know Jesus, maybe you don't know him in free pardon of sin. You've never asked him to be your Savior. And let me tell you this. We've lived a day where people say, if you did, you know who he is, you'll be all right. Sign a card. No. If you've never asked the Lord to be a part of your life, to be the Savior of your life, you've never asked him, he's not the Savior of your life. You've got to ask him. You do. In some form or way. You don't have to do it with your mouth, but I'll tell you your heart. You got to do it. You have to. You have to. See, the scripture says that there was a man that came to Christ by night. And he said, what must I do to be born again? He thought there was a special way for him because he was rich. And the Lord said, well, you got to keep the commandments. He said, I've done those things from my youth up. I've already done that. He said, go and sell all you've got. Give it to the poor. And pick up your cross and follow me. The scripture says that man went away sad. Because he had much.
Great possessions.
He had much. Let me tell you this. If you're not willing to surrender all, you've never been to the cross. See, there's an old song that says, I surrender all. And it just says that over and over again. I surrender all. I'm going to tell you honestly tonight, I surrender all. I surrender all. You've not surrendered to the blessed Lamb of God, you might need to get saved. I don't know why. I'm very seldom ever saved. Proof in this context. But Lord, give it to me for a reason. If you've never had a personal relationship with God, if you've never spoke to God, if you've never asked God to be your Savior, you need to get saved. I'm telling you, you can get saved tonight. You can. There's another old gospel song that says, why not tonight? See, tonight will be a good night. I don't even know what the date is. What, 21st?
22nd
of February.
Today is the day of salvation?
It is. Now it's the accepted time of Scripture. See, the devil said, I just wait till tomorrow. The truth of the matter is, there is no such thing as tomorrow. It's a figment of our imagination that we've conjured up to help us get through this day. But there is no tomorrow. Because if I make it, if I lay down and go to sleep tonight, and I wake up in the morning, what happens?
Today.
I've never made it to tomorrow. Never. One of these days, my tomorrows is going to be cut off. And I'm going to stand before a righteous God. I'm going to give an account of what I've done. Jesus. Somebody says, I'm going to give an account for this. Listen to me. If you've never accepted Jesus, you don't have to give an account for nothing.
Yep, blank page.
That's right. He don't know you.
That's right.
You see? Now me, I'm going to stand up there and he's going to, I'm going to give an account. The Bible says I'll give an account in the judgment mark for every deed that I've performed in his body. Everything. I'm going to give an account and see, Chip, what I've done, God's going to look at me and he's going to say,
still come up short.
But Jesus is going to say, it's mine. That's all I need.
It's all going to matter.
It's all going to matter.
It's all I've got, a thousand.
Let God put some glory in your life today. Let him build your house. Let him set you up. Your kids might say today, he's your hookup. He's the best thing you ever had. And anybody that I've ever met that knowed him right, they said the same thing. Anybody ever? I've never heard nobody give an ill report on the Lord that loved the Lord. Never mind. Sing your song. Let's stand to our feet. God's speaking to you tonight. I'm going to invite you to the altar.
Who is that stranger?
Anybody that comes tonight, I want to ask you to come.
He's coming down the road. They're spreading garments in his path. Oh, that must be the Lord.
Anybody?
Closer, closer.
Everybody have a good fellowship one another tonight. You might have somebody you need to go tell you love. If you do, go tell them.